This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. All right, on today's episode, I want to share with you three of my favorite big ideas from a new book called The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, 10 Unconventional Laws to Redefine Your Life and Succeed on Your Own Terms, written by Vishen Lakhiani. The book is basically all about discarding outdated notions about what it takes to live a successful, fulfilling life and courageously embracing a life where you follow your true spirit into greatness and finding happiness on your own terms. And so let's go over on this episode three of my favorite laws, quote-unquote, that the author, Vishen Lakhiani, outlines in the book. If you want the full book summary and an outline of all 10 of the laws to redefining your life, you can, of course, pick up the book or get the book summary at getflashnotes.com. But for today, let's dive into three of my favorite ones, three of the biggest ones. So the first one is about creating a vision for your future. So he says, create a vision for your future. Extraordinary minds create a vision for their future that's decidedly their own and free from expectations of the culturescape. Their vision is focused on end goals that strike a direct chord with their happiness. What does that mean? So essentially, when we're talking about creating a vision for your future, creating a compelling vision is all about creating compelling goals. The problem is, though, is that most people approach goal setting totally the wrong way. What do? They make means goals instead of end goals. Let's talk about the difference real quick. So means goals are things that are means to an end, like getting a new car, graduating from college, choosing a new career, choosing the best career for you. And you know, there's nothing wrong with these things. They're just dependent on doing something in order to get something else. And end goals, in contrast, are going to be about experiencing, traveling, giving, things that give you joy and give you meaning. So when you lessen your grip on means goals, not totally let go of them, because I think everybody has certain means goals every now and then, but when you lessen your grip on means goals, you begin to focus on what your heart really wants, which is usually the feeling that you think that achieving a goal is going to give you, right? So for instance, saying something like, I'll be happy when I get a promotion, I'll be happy when I get a new job, I'll finally be happy when I grow up, when I graduate, when I get this, when I get that, that's erroneous. That's the wrong way to approach goals, right? That's the wrong way, because that stuff isn't going to make you happy. You can only find happiness in whatever you're doing right now. So a means goal might be, you know, something like getting a specific job, whereas an end goal is going to be something like having fun at whatever job you do right now. Perspective. So means goals are goals with a so in them, doing one thing so you can have or do something else. End goals come from your heart, and they're actually a joy to pursue. Again, they're often going to be a feeling rather than an accomplishment. Bottom line, you want to focus less on means goals and more on end goals. Here's a quick exercise to help you do that. So end goals are going to come in three basic forms. Number one, experiences. Number two, growth. And number three, contribution. So you might want to ask yourself, you know, what do you want in each of these areas? Write down your answers to the following three questions. Following three questions about the following three areas: experiences, growth, contribution. So number one would be, what experiences do I want to have in this lifetime? What experiences do I want to have in this lifetime? Number two, how do you want to grow? How do I want to grow in this lifetime? Number three, how do I want to contribute in this lifetime? So by the time you're done writing your answers to those questions, you should have a nice little list of everything that you want to accomplish or do or feel, experience, grow, contribute under each one of these headings. Experiences, growth, contribution. That's what you want to focus on. Experiences, growth, contribution. So once you're done, you might want to rewrite your list, make it look nice and pretty, put it up somewhere that's easily accessible so you can review it every single day, right? Just look it over real quick. So that's the first suggestion that he has to designing an extraordinary world-class life for yourself. Let go of means goals, focus more on end goals, experiences, growth, things that you can do to help other people, right? And you'll be able to maximize your joy out of life from doing that as well. Number two is to be, if you've got kids in the car right now, earmuff time. So this is Lakiani's term here. He says, be unfuckwithable. So if you're unfuckwithable, you'll be able to weather any storm, no matter how turbulent it is. Here's what we mean by that. So be unfuckwithable. Extraordinary minds, he says, don't need to seek validation from outside opinion or through the attainment of goals. Instead, they are truly at peace with themselves and the world around them. They live fearlessly, immune to criticism or praise, and fueled by their own inner happiness and self-love. Now, I personally definitely disagree with Vishen on the live fearlessly part, just because I think everybody's afraid of something. I think a good thing to replace living fearlessly with would probably be something like living courageously. That's how I would put it, because being courageous doesn't mean you're not afraid. It just means that you're willing to feel the fear and take action anyway. I think that's how you really overcome fear, because you can't eliminate it totally ever. That's my opinion. That's the way I feel about it. But anyways, back to being unfuckwithable. So when you've created a good end goal, again, going back to these end goals, it'll be something completely within your control, which, as Vishen puts it here, will make you unfuckwithable. Love that word. Unfuckwithable. So in other words, when you focus on setting goals that are going to be within your control, end goals, then you've set something up for yourself that no one else can take away from you, right? And that's the part that makes you unfuckwithable. So for example, an end goal, like to consistently cultivate feelings of love for myself and others, that's within your control, isn't it? But a goal like to be madly in love with Danielle, or for Danielle to be madly in love with me, on the other hand, is going to depend on somebody else. And that's outside of your control. So focusing on things within your control is going to set you up for success almost every single time. Right? Focusing on an end goal that's within your control. That's what makes you unfuckwithable, because it doesn't depend on anybody else. You don't depend on other people to be happy. And that is a crucial, critical key to living a fulfilling lifestyle. Another example, right? To be able to travel depends on a lot of different things, but a goal like, I will always have the most amazing, most beautiful human experiences no matter where I am, right? I'm always going to enjoy the party no matter how crappy everybody else thinks it is. I'm still going to have a good time. That's within your control. That's a great end goal. That makes you unfuckwithable. Another part of being unfuckwithable is to lose your need to seek validation or love from others and to judge them when you perceive that they're not going to give you what you need. So stop judging, stop looking for validation from people and all that stuff, love from other people, when you think that they're not giving you what you need. Because nobody else should have to do that for you. You should have that cultivated within yourself first before other people come and give it to you. Get what I'm saying? So this comes from a ruthless sense of self-love for yourself. It comes from knowing that you're already enough, that you're already whole, just the way that you were created. So an actionable insight for you here from the second big idea that he outlines in the book, a technique to practice loving yourself is to spend time every day in front of the mirror and just look yourself deep in the eye. You might have heard me talk about this on the podcast before, because this is something that I do. Every day, at least once a day, spend time in front of the mirror just for a few seconds. Look yourself deeply in the eyes and say, I love you. People don't do this enough. It's crazy. Just take a few seconds out for yourself. Look at yourself. For real, actually, look at yourself in your eyes and remind yourself, hey, I love you. Seriously, try doing that. Think about doing that once a day, either in the morning, right after you're done brushing your teeth. That's what I do. Or right before bed at night, right? Right before bed at night. You want to regularly remind yourself of the things that you love about yourself. Become consciously present whenever fear and anxiety and things like that start to crowd your thoughts. Focus on the tangible things that you can see and feel and hear and smell around you until the anxiety and fear dissipates a little bit. And as Vishen tells us, you know, knowing that we are enough gives us the courage to do more, to do better, to do our best. When we learn to be unfuckwithable, the biggest fears that hold so many people back don't bother us as much anymore. And we boldly pursue big dreams and big goals. Big idea number three I want to share with you from the book is about embracing your quest. Embrace your quest, he tells us. Extraordinary minds are motivated by a quest or a calling, a drive to create some positive change in the world. And this drive propels them forward in life and gives them and helps them to gain meaning and make a meaningful contribution. So the most successful, most extraordinary people in the world do not have careers. What they have is a calling. They have a calling. When you've got a calling, and this is what this main idea, this big idea here about embracing your quest, calling, synonymous, same thing. When you embrace your quest, right, when you have a calling, you have a mission, right? You have a mission to contribute to humanity, serving other people. It begins when you clarify your own end goals, right? When you start thinking about, hey, what do I want to experience? How do I want to grow in life? How do I want to contribute to others? When you start clarifying those things that you want to do, which I would highly suggest you go through those exercises, maybe re-listen to this and pause those places where we talked about those exercises that you could do about those end goals, pause, and then write it down. Write that stuff down in a journal and really start designing your life, designing your end goals, thinking about how you want to contribute, how you want to grow, how you want to experience things in life. So that quest is going to start to solidify once you figure out, hey, what do I want out of life? And once you figure those three areas out, the growth, the contribution, the experiences that you want to have in life, then you can start to embrace your quest because then you know the journey that you want to go on, right? So as you speak about and think about your end goals, you start taking actions actually towards making them happen. And that is when life, opportunities, people start to show up, start to appear to assist you along in your journey. So when you have a calling, essentially, is what Lakhiani tells us, he says that you let go of what he calls B rules. So the B and B rules, it's one of his terms that he made up, just like unfuckwithable. The B stands for bullshit rules. So bullshit rules are rules that are made up by society about what we should do rather than, you know, discovering and doing what we were born and do. Like you should go to college, you should do this, you should get married, you should blah, 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 blah. Nothing wrong with going to college, getting married. I did both. It's just that oftentimes people think that those are musts, right? Those are things that you just should do. Everybody should do them in life. But that's not necessarily true, is it? You don't necessarily have to work for a specific company. You could start your own job. You could start your own business. You don't have to necessarily start your own business. You could succeed and thrive and work for another company. So it's just those B rules, these bullshit rules that are made up by society about what everybody should be doing, a specific, you know, yellow brick road that everybody needs to follow, don't necessarily get questioned enough. And so you might want to question those things if you think that you're following B rules right now. So there's no specific set standard path that every single person needs to follow in life. You can create your own path. That's a beautiful, beautiful realization that I had personally a few years ago once I'd, you know, gotten out of college and realized that, hey, I don't need to do this specific thing. I don't need to work for somebody else for my entire life. I can actually start my own thing. I can start doing things that I enjoy and doing things that I'm good at and helping people in that way. And wow, what a realization that was for me. You can have the same realization. It doesn't have to be the same path. It can be totally different, totally unique to you and your needs. And that's what it's supposed to be. So no one path is the same. So once you begin to, you know, get on top of it, embracing your quest. Once you begin your quest, start cultivating your own calling, all sorts of awesome opportunities are going to begin to present themselves, but you still have to actively accept them and pursue them. In Vichen's words, in the book he writes, the universe doesn't care who's going to change the world. It just wants someone who's going to seize the idea and run with it. So when you reach this level, right, you begin to see the connectedness of life. Your intuition strengthens. You trust it. You follow it. Your vision motivates you. You see events around you as opportunities, even negative events, as chances for yourself to grow, to learn, to reach your goals. So the bottom line here is this. Your quest, super important, super, super important. So here's a couple of ideas on how you can actually embrace your own quest, cultivate your own calling. One thing you can do that he suggests in the book is to think about a time in your life when you, quote, experienced heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. What was happening when you experienced heaven on earth? What was the joy that you felt? Right? Imagine you could just wave your magic wand and create heaven on earth for yourself. Paradise, joy. What would that be for you? How would you be living? What would you be experiencing? What would you be doing? Who would you be with? How would you feel? You might want to write that question down in a journal and actually write it all down. Don't be afraid to go into detail about what heaven on earth looks like for you. And then note, what steps can I take today to make that happen? What's even the smallest step that I can take right here, right now, in order to start the ball rolling on creating heaven on earth for myself? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to start doing? And what can I do right now? So write down what you see, what you think, what you feel as you do this. And then next, ask yourself the following question. This is part two on embracing your calling, your quest. What positive mark do you want to leave on this world in your lifetime? What positive mark do you want to leave on this world in your lifetime? What's the legacy you want to leave behind? Right, then note what steps you can take today to make that happen. Right, so do these exercises. You'll be closer to embracing your own life's quest. It won't be, of course, a boom, here it is type moment. Right, it won't be like, oh my gosh, this is my quest. No, of course, it's a gradual process. Right, it's the type of moment that comes to you slowly as you unpack your thoughts, as you start to journal the answers to these questions. You really dig deep. You get to a point of clarity, right, where you can get yourself to really dig deep, ask yourself what it is you truly want out of life, right? And again, it might be gradual at first, but we've all got to start somewhere, right? So here's to embracing your quest. Here's to living like you give a damn. And here's a quick recap and closing notes here before we call it a day here on this episode. Number one, again, create a vision for your future. Number two, be unfuckwithable. Number three, embrace your quest. If you want the full book summary on this book, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, 10 Unconventional Laws to Redefining Your Life and Succeeding on Your Own Terms by Vichen Lakhiani, pick that up over at getflashnotes.com. And what I would highly suggest is re-listen to this episode, replay it, and pause in those areas where we went over those exercises, bust out your journal, and actually journal. Pause where we go over those questions, right? The difference between means, goals, and end goals, and how to create your own end goals. Write them down. How you want to grow, how you want to contribute, what you want to experience in life. And start to unpack these thoughts and journal these ideas for yourself and go about it that way. So until next time, go out there every single day and live like you give a damn. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.